Brethren, would you please turn in your Bibles today to the New Testament. It's a letter Paul wrote to a church, wrote two letters to the church at Corinth. I'd like you to look at the second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read one verse, one very short verse, packed with wonderful news, wonderful doctrinal teaching. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 15. I think you probably heard me quote it often, mostly probably in prayer. It's a wonderful verse, all the Word of God is. This is a wonderful one I want us to study today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The Word of God says, Paul writes this by inspiration of the Spirit of God. That same Spirit of God inspired him to write this. That same Spirit that Brother Eddie prayed for that would come today, and the one that we all prayed for just now in that hymn, that very same Spirit of God. Paul writes, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I pray God's blessing on the Word as I read it. May He open it to us. May we understand it. May the Spirit of God come. We certainly need Him. I won't pray further. You pray, and I'll pray as I try to preach. You pray as I try to preach, that God would help me and you to worship Him today. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You and I are now in a time between what we call Thanksgiving and Christmas, aren't we? On the calendar, as time goes along, we're between two major holidays, we call them Thanksgiving, Christmas. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What do? At Thanksgiving, we give thanks, don't we? That's what we're supposed to do, and that's the idea. We give thanks. What do? At Christmas, we give gifts. It's one of the things we do. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Sandwiched between those two holidays, here we are. And sandwiched between giving thanks and the gift is that unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift. What is it? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's stay in the mindset of giving thanks. Giving and giving thanks. That's what I want to try to preach to you about today. Giving and giving thanks for God's unspeakable gift. This chapter 9 here, we're at the last verse here, and Paul makes an... The last Sunday I read a verse to you, and this week as I've been reading the Bible, I saw some verses with an exclamation point after them. I think this verse would be a good place to put an exclamation point. It's not in the King James Version. I don't know if it is in the original, but it's like Paul almost blurts out. He's writing in this chapter here, he's writing about giving. He's encouraging Christian giving. You can read it sometime. I hope you will. But he's talking to the Christians at this church called Corinth about giving. And there are two verses in here that are familiar to you. We cite them a lot when we are talking about giving. Verse 6 says this, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Well, that's true when you're sowing natural seed, it's true. But it's also Paul in this context, he's talking about giving. He's talking about the more you give, the more you're going to get back. That you can't outgive God. That God blesses the gift and the giver. And in verse 7, it says here, God loves a cheerful giver. You see how Paul is talking about giving here? And as I often pray, I know you've heard me, as I give the offertory prayer, I often ask God to make us cheerful givers, because He tells us He loves people who give and give cheerfully. It's just a fact of the truth of God. God loves a cheerful giver. And so at the end of this chapter right here, Paul writes, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." The expression is made at the end of that chapter. Some say that this statement where Paul names a gift that's indescribable, that's beyond words, some say that he's talking about Christian giving and the gift that the church might give to a needy church somewhere else or needy brethren somewhere else. Some say that. It's made in reference to the giving, Christian giving. But in my opinion, if you give money or in kind to another, it can be adequately described. You can form words to describe the gift. I rather think, brethren, that Paul is citing God's giving of His only begotten Son. That's what I think. Because brethren, the one and only gift that I can think of that's unspeakable, that's beyond words, is God's gift to us of His only begotten Son, the gift of His Son. I believe Paul, brethren, I believe he makes the statement that he does in verse 15. For I can think of two reasons. There are probably many. But one is, at the end of this thought, these several sentences about giving, he wants to encourage us to give. He wants us to think about what God's done for us, and it might inspire us then to give, and to give more freely, and to give more cheerfully. I think that's one of the reasons. The other reason, brethren, I think he says it is this. He doesn't want to lose sight, brethren, of the whole reason for giving, and the whole reason for living, and his whole reason for preaching. And that's Christ Jesus, the man he met, the man Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, on the road to Damascus. He never lost sight of it. And no matter what he would be writing about, he would give the glory to God for Christ Jesus. He says in 1 Corinthians, he starts out early on as he's writing these letters in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says this, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, Paul, he did know other things, and he wrote about other things, and he preached about other things, but the whole foundation, brethren, the beginning and the ending of Paul's preaching was Jesus Christ. And I think, for that reason, I think that's what he's speaking about Christ when he says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Gift. What is a gift? What is it? What is a gift? We're approaching the season where we're going to be giving and receiving gifts. I like that. I like the word gift. I like it. What is it? I looked it up in the dictionary. You know what a gift is. But I've got a definition for you. Something voluntarily transferred from one to another without compensation. You see? That's what makes it a gift. You give me a gift, I don't pay you for it. Hopefully I thank you for it. Hopefully I enjoy it and prize it. But a gift, it wouldn't be a gift if I paid you for it. Something voluntarily transferred from one to another without compensation. A present. That was another definition, a present. Gifts are given in love, because of love. They're not earned. They're freely given. They're freely bestowed. Else they're not gifts. God gave a gift unspeakable to help us, help me set it apart. I want to say to you that God gives gifts all the time. He gives gifts to His people. He gives gifts to not His people. We all, every man on the planet, woman and child, enjoys air that we breathe in our lungs. The redeemed and the lost. He's just that kind of God. We enjoy the sunshine. We enjoy food, clothing, shelter. We enjoy those things. God gives gifts. Gifts. But there's nothing really unspeakable about those gifts. You can describe them. You can tell about them. And you can exhaust telling about those gifts. But His unspeakable gift, you cannot exhaust. More on that in just a moment. To demonstrate to you, I know you know it, but to cite you some verses about the goodness of God and His gifts to mankind, I thought of these verses. There are many. Acts 17, the same Paul says this about God giving gifts. Gifts now. We're not talking about the unspeakable gift, but gifts. Listen to this. Paul, the same man, he was preaching to some men in Athens in Greece at a place called Mars Hill, where very, very learned men were gathered together. And Paul, one of the things Paul said to them is, God giveth to all life and breath and all things, everyday things, things we require to live. Paul said that. And you think about it, brethren, it's true. He does, doesn't he? The most unholy man in this county, wherever he is today, he's enjoying, I guess, life. He's got life. He's got physical life. He can breathe. And he's got some things in his life that he enjoys. And God gives those to him. God is the author of life. He gives it to him. But He gives it to me too, brethren, and you. He gives us good gifts. He gives us good gifts. James tells us, James in chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives good gifts to all. He gives us our spouses, brethren. He gives husbands wives, and He gives wives husbands. He instituted that. And He gave Adam a wife, didn't He? And He started it out by saying, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they too will become one. He gives wives husbands. He gives husbands wives. Proverbs 19:14. A prudent wife is from the Lord. He gives us our good wives. He gives us children. God gives good gifts. Psalm 127. Listen to this. This is the same psalm that says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it, by the way. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. He gives us safety. He gives us security. He gives us children, husbands, wives, children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They come from God. The fruit of the womb is His reward. They come from God. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. God gives gifts, brethren. He gives good gifts. But, brethren, He gave a gift that's beyond description. Oh, I'm going to take a stab at it this morning of describing it, but I can't exhaust it. I never will, never could, but it sure is fun to take a run at it. His unspeakable gift. I found this quote as I was studying. No words can express the greatness of this gift. It is higher than the mind can conceive, higher than language can express. That's that unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. God's unspeakable gift. No matter what I might say to you today about God's gift to you of His Son, I'll fall short of adequately describing Him. He is the unspeakable gift. You know, every Sunday we sing hymns. We sing hymns about Him, that unspeakable gift. Tell me the story of Jesus. How many times have you sung that in your life? The older we are, the more we've sung it. But we haven't exhausted it, have we? We say it again. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell it to me again. Again and again. And there was a line I was going to remember. Maybe I'll remember it when I get to the quote from Hebrews I want to give you. Maybe it'll come to me then. There's a line in that hymn. There are a lot of them in there. I jumped out at me. No matter what I might say to you today about God's gift to you, I'll fall short of adequately describing Him. He is the unspeakable gift. It's because, brethren, we can't exhaust Him, His person, His work, what He's done for us, His continuing work, what He does for us. We can't exhaust it. We can't fully even define Him. I can never say to you truthfully, I've said all there is to say about Him. I've told you all there is to tell you about Him. Can't do it. Can't do it. God's unspeakable gift. Now I want to spend a few minutes talking to you about God's unspeakable gift. Well, when we say it's a gift, I remind you that by definition, it's given without compensation. You can't buy it if you wanted to. You can't buy Him. You can't purchase Him. You can't earn Him. He's a gift, brethren. He's a gift. You did earn something from God. You know what you earned? Death. Death. Paul, the same Paul says, the wages, you go to work for wages. I did. I worked for wages. And I earned something. I wanted to look for my paycheck every week, every month, wherever I was working, how often they paid me. I wanted my wages because I felt like I'd earned them. You know what I earned from God, brethren? The wages of sin. That's right. I earned death. I earned separation from God. The wages of sin is death. Oh, brother, but the rest of it is this. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the gift of God. That's Romans 6:23. The gift of God is His unspeakable gift. It can't be deserved. All your righteousness, brethren, and all of my best righteous acts are as what? Yeah, that's right. Filthy rags. You know, the New Testament says that. I think Paul says that in Romans. I believe it is. But I was reading in Jeremiah this week, and it's right there. I guess he's quoting Jeremiah. The Old Testament prophet said it, and the New Testament evangelists both say it. All our righteousness. You cannot, brethren, obligate God to bless you. It's purely a gift, and it's a pure gift. The unspeakable gift of Christ our Savior, brethren, is purely a gift and nothing but a gift. No more, no less. And He, brethren, is a pure gift. He was pure, brethren, when He got here. Jesus came, brethren, from glory to a sinful world. He was pure when He arrived here in this sinful world. Jesus was sinless when He arrived. We got a taste of that this morning in our reading. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He was born outside the chain of sin. He was born pure and sinless. He is purely a gift and he is a pure gift. He arrived here sinless. He remained sinless as he was with us. I think the line came back to me. Fasting alone in the desert. Satan came to him. He'd been fasting 40 days and nights. And Satan came to him, the great tempter. He came to him and said, if you're who you say you are, turn these stones into bread. I know you're hungry. I know you can do it if you're the Son of God. Go ahead. And Jesus, brethren, he remained sinless. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He came here sinless, brethren. He remained sinless. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet, three words, yet without sin. He remained sinless. That's Hebrews, wonderful book we've been studying for months on Sunday night. Hebrews 4:15. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That unspeakable gift, brethren, Paul says in this same letter here, 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, you know it, 5:21. The one, brethren, who arrived sinless, the one who lived sinless, he died, brethren, being made sin. Not being made sinful, because he never committed a sin, but he was made to be sin. For he hath made him, you know it, don't you? I hope you know it well. I hope I know it well. He hath made him, God hath made Jesus, to be sin for us. Not to be sinful, not to commit a sin, but he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took your sin, that pure one who came, born of a virgin, brethren, he took your sin upon him. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. The one who never sinned, brethren, he became sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him or through him. That we might be made righteous, brethren. That you might be right before God in Jesus, through Jesus. A gift given because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, God doesn't love the sinful world out there, brethren, the unregenerate, the lost, hell-bound sinner. God doesn't love him. He loves his own elect children of God, elect, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. That's a world of people. That's a group of people. And the word world there means the ones chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. God loved them and us so much that he gave his unspeakable gift. He gave his only begotten Son. Now, brethren, I come to the final push that I want to make to you today. Paul the Apostle, at the end of that chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, he writes, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Some say, and I tend to agree, some say that Paul included this right here. He did it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God was blessing him in his writing here. But some say that he put that expression right there in order to, maybe among other things, but for this reason, to encourage giving. To encourage you and me to give. Because God knew, brethren, that we would one day be reading this and studying this. And Paul is writing in his day to the church at Corinth about giving. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. God is instructing you and me, brethren, about giving. And as God speaks through Paul to this church, about giving, at the end of his discussion about giving, he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That he writes, brethren, I believe as a to get you and me thinking about, if we'll think about what God has given us, then we might think about, brethren, giving a little more and a little more often to others. You and I have the opportunity every day, but certainly we think about it most, I think I do, in this season right here of giving that we call Christmas. You and I have the opportunity. Jesus said, the poor you're going to have with you always. They're going to be there. And we're going to have opportunities to help them. So I think what Paul is, when he's finishing up this chapter, it wasn't chapters in Paul's day, he's just writing out. It's been separated into chapter and verse so we can find it when we want to. But Paul is ending this thought with a thanksgiving to God for His unspeakable gift in an effort to encourage you and me in our giving. I want to close up with this right here, some words that from our Lord and Savior about giving. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse beginning with verse 34. I want you to just listen to this now, brethren. Listen. This is Jesus talking. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's talking to some people that are in front of Him, and He says, This is what I believe. You and the others, some may differ. But I believe we can't work our way to heaven, brethren. I don't believe that I'm going to be rewarded in the eternal heaven. I believe if I'm rewarded anywhere, it's right in the here and now for what I do in the here and now. That's my doctrine. That's what I believe. I believe Jesus is talking about a kingdom that was prepared long, long ago. But it came, brethren, it came after Jesus rose from the dead. And we're in the kingdom age right now, right now. We're in the last days. We're in the kingdom age. And He's talking to some people that have been doing some things. And He says, you come on into the kingdom. You sit down with Me and you fellowship with Me, spiritually speaking, right now, because you've earned it. When the gates open and I breathe my last breath and Jesus takes me home, brethren, it's not because of my works. I'm about to read you some works right here. These are all works. Come on in, He says. Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom. It's been prepared for you. And why do you get to enter this kingdom? Because I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. And these people are going to look around and say, who, me? I did that. They're going to say, then shall they say, the righteous, those who do right. They're going to answer Him saying, Lord, when saw we Thee and hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and You clothed Me and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And then the King Jesus, He shall answer and say unto them, Verily, that means truly, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. There it is, brethren. There's giving right there. Those people gave. They gave food. They gave drink. They gave clothing. They gave of their time, their company, their energy. They gave. And what happened, brethren? The King of Kings comes along and says, you come on into the kingdom and sit down with Me, with Abraham and Isaac. Sit down with us because you've earned it. Now, we don't do it, brethren, to earn an entrance into the kingdom. It's hard to get in. It's hard work. And it's works, brethren. We do it because we do it. Why? Because God gave us His unspeakable gift. And I want to give back. And I think that's the idea of Paul as he's writing there. He's trying to get the Corinthian brethren in his day to give. He's blessing them for it. And God is speaking to us today through Paul and through the Scripture. that we need to give. We need to give. Between now and next Sunday, there'll be boxes put back here in the annex, and they need to be. There are people out there that don't have the food you and I have, and we need to feed them. Their boys and girls maybe don't have clothes, shoes, adequate clothing that your children and grandchildren have, and then mine have. Let's feed them. Let's clothe them. Let's visit. Let's encourage. There it is right there, brethren. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul is saying, give thanks to God for Jesus, for giving up Jesus to come and save us from our sins. Oh, brethren, you can say it and you can sing it, and you ought to. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to say it. We ought to sing it. And we've been doing that through Thanksgiving time, I hope. I've tried to. Hope you have. I bet you have. But there's another step, brethren, you and I can take between now and Christmas time, the season of giving in this season, is that we can give. We can give. We can give not only words and songs of praise, but we can give. And that's what I want to do, and that's what I hope you will do in this season right here. And what will inspire me to do it is thinking about God's unspeakable gift, what He's given to me. I want to do that. Let's join together in doing that, brethren. Ask God to show you opportunities for giving. You got one that's going to be set up between now and next Sunday in the annex. That's a clear one. But you might run into a situation this week. Ask God to give you spiritual sight, to see it, to recognize that opportunity, and to give you the grace not to just kind of shrug it off and say, well, I'll do something later. May God bless you and me.